We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Lord Jesus, as we just come before you, Father, we just look to this portion of our text, Lord. We're so thankful that we get to be a part of this breaking through ministry and that we get to be a part of what you're doing, Father. I thank you for the word that you have given us today, Lord. It's not by chance that we are here in this section. Lord, we are we're right on time. We're doing exactly what you want us to at exactly the right time. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to minister your word. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be spoken. There'd be nothing of myself, Lord, nothing of myself, but that your word would go out and that lives would be changed because they have looked at what is going on in your word, Lord. We thank you for your presence with us, Lord. Make us very aware that you're here. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. Amen. Okay, so I know I asked you guys to pray for my foot last week, and I went to the doctor, and he said that the x-ray showed that nothing has happened since the day that it was broken. So it's, which I guess apparently is normal for the place that it's at. It takes longer to heal. So, but I can put a little bit of weight on it. I can't walk a whole lot right now. So anyway, I'm still on my trusty little scooter that gets me to places where I need to go a lot faster than I can walk there. So thank you for praying, and I appreciate any other prayers for quicker healing. So this portion of our text, did you just enjoy digging in and finding out what this was all about and when this was happening and when that was happening? Yeah, no. So I did too. I did too. I love digging in and finding out what God has to say about these things. And the one thing that I want to say is a good parent would not just tell you about the terrors of the night and just leave you to bed and say, oh, yeah, so there you go. That's all the bad stuff that could happen, that is going to happen. Most likely, you're going to be a part of that. So just sleep tight, good dreams, go ahead. Okay, bye. And so Jesus doesn't do that either. He gives us these things. He tells us these things. And the key verse here is, I've told you these things beforehand. I've told you these things beforehand so that you're not shaken when they happen. You're not, you don't know how to answer when these things happen. I've told you these things beforehand, which is verse 23 in here. And then the other key verse is verse 26. He's going to be coming on the clouds. Hallelujah. Let's keep our eyes on the important things that are going on in this chapter. It's really, really easy. Yes, we do have to talk about everything that's in this chapter, but we don't set our mind on the things that are going to happen. We know that when they happen, that the Lord is with us. We can trust him, that we don't walk through it alone. We need to keep our eyes on the right things. Bethany handed me what Warren Wiersbe had to say about this text. Our task is to be faithful and to be busy, not to speculate or debate about the hidden details of prophecy. Okay, the hidden details. This is what's going to happen. We don't have to worry so much about how is it going to happen, what time is it going to happen. I don't know. What do you think about this and what do you think about that? Let's not waste our time on this. but let's invest our time with Christ and make sure that our lives are turned toward him. And so the first thing that we come here, they went out of the temple. This is the last time that Jesus will have been in the temple before his death and resurrection. This is the last time that they're going to see him in there. And so as they're coming out, the disciples say to him, "Teacher, see what manner of..." So, oh, they're talking about this temple. This is a gorgeous temple. They loved this temple. It was a beautiful place. It was built by Herod's people, his peeps. Yes, it was built by Herod's peeps. And there was no expense spared. Everything was in there as it should have been. It was covered with gold. It was, I looked into the historian Josephus. He describes it as a wonderful structure with stones 60 feet long. Pillars supporting the porches were 38 feet high, all of one stone. Now, if you have ever been to Israel, you can see that some of those stones, the foundation stones, remain to this day. And it is awesome to see the size of these stones. It's hard to believe that these stones were moved into place at all. And in fact, Josephus talks about a war that was going on in one of the wars, during one of the wars of the Jews. 6 days battering at the walls during the siege made no impression on them at all. 6 days of besieging this wall. So, but then Jesus, as we go on, Jesus says, "Do you see how great this is? Well, I'm telling you right now, remember we talked about it last week, this temple is going down. This temple is not going to be here anymore. Every stone that's on the other one is going to be torn down." And of course, we know that that's what happened. It would be over the course of 40 years, and there would be a time when Titus would order the destruction of it by fire. Now, there are different schools of thought on that. The story of the Jews running into the temple for protection from the Romans, and the Romans set it on fire. Another, that a drunken Roman knocked over a lamp in there and started a fire in there that burned so hot that it caused all of the gold to melt. And when the gold melted, it melted into the seams of all of these rocks, all of these huge rocks. And so Titus demanded that this be torn down so that they could get to the gold. So there was not one stone left upon another because they were after the gold. And so this word was fulfilled just as Jesus said that it would be. And on the Wailing Wall and how huge that is. Where am I from? Australia. Now in verse 3. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple..." Okay, he's sitting on the Mount of Olives. And how many of you have been to Israel? Look at a good group of you. Okay, so you're sitting in the Mount of Olives and you're looking at the temple. And you're looking at the temple, but you're also looking over the entire city of Jerusalem. What a glorious sight that is. It is just a beautiful sight. And here Jesus is. Later, Jesus will say, will weep over that view that he had there. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have gathered you under my wings, but you would not." And here we have him, and he's facing Jerusalem. And he's facing all of this there. Mark tells us that Peter, James, John, and Andrew were the ones who took them privately and asked Jesus to answer their question privately. What do we know about James, John, Peter, and Andrew? They were the first four that were called to follow Jesus. They've been with Jesus longer than anybody else. And these are the four that said, "Jesus, we just need to know something. We need to pull you aside. We want to talk to you personally." And so Mark shows us that it's those particular ones. And their question is, of course, "Tell us, when are these things going to happen? When is all this going to happen that you've been talking about?" And what happens is Jesus begins what we have come to know as the Olivet Discourse. They're on the Mount of Olives as he begins to explain to them the prophecies that are about to take place. And here in this chapter, in a nutshell, from verse 5 through 37, we have five different things that we're going to keep our eye on. One is take heed, pay attention. And that shows up in verse 5, in verse 23, and in verse 33. And then, don't be troubled, it says in verse 7. So take heed, don't be troubled, endure in verse 13. Take heed, don't be troubled, endure. And then, pray in verses 18 and verses 33. Verses 18 and 33. And so we have take heed, don't be troubled, endure, pray, and then lastly, four verses say watch. Watch in verse 9, in verse 33, in verse 35, and verse 37. And so when are these things going to take place? And so Jesus, as his norm is, he takes opportunity to give them something more than what they've asked for. They ask a question. They're looking for an answer. He tells them, this is what's going to happen. He doesn't say, when is this going to happen? He gives them a general period of time. But if you're like me, you looked over this particular thing and you went, what time was that? And when was that? And how does that fit in over to there? Is that when this happened or is that when that happened? And so he is giving them these things are going to happen. And he says to them in verse 5, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying I am he and will deceive many. But when you hear of rumors of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen before the end, but the end's not yet. Nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. There will be troubles. These are the beginnings. These are the beginnings. Don't interpret, he says, wars and rumors of wars as a sign that you are in the last of the last days, because wars and rumors of wars have gone on forever. Right now, how many wars are going on right now that we know about? Imagine the ones that we don't know about, the ones that are rumored about. There are always going to be wars and rumors of wars as long as there is man on the planet, not man, but mankind on the planet. And so, and also there are going to be signs, the earthquakes, the famines, the troubles. Isaiah 8, 11 through 14 says, you will be my sanctuary. That God will be my sanctuary in the midst of these situations. Isaiah 8, 11 through 14, it talks about you will be my sanctuary. So don't be afraid. Luke 21, 9, but when you hear of wars and commotions, don't be terrified, because these things have to come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Jeremiah 4:31. I've heard the voice of a woman in labor, that we should look at this. This is the beginning of labor. How many of you have had children? Yeah, most in here have had children. And you know what those labor pains feel like. And if you haven't had children, you've seen what those labor pains might be like. You've heard from someone tell their story. It starts just a little bit, and it increases, and it increases, and it increases until that new birth happens. This is the beginning of that. We're not talking about the birthing of tribulation. We're talking about the birthing of new life. So let's keep our eyes where they need to be. And then in verse 9, it says that we are there to watch for themselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. You will be beaten in the synagogues. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them, because you stand against what they say. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak but the Holy Spirit. Brother is going to betray brother to death, and a father the child, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, in verse 9, it says that they are to watch out for themselves, that they are to pay attention. They're going to be beaten. These things are going to happen. We have the best account of what things actually happened in the book of Acts. So on your own study time, go to the book of Acts and find out what happened with these disciples that we're being talked to right now. This section does seem to have a special reference to the ministry of the 144,000 Jewish believers who will carry the gospel to all nations of the earth prior to Christ's return. Those 144,000 that are left after the church is snatched away and that are left to minister to the Jewish people. So again, remember, this is being spoken to the Jews. They would understand what's going on here. In verse 10, when it says that the gospel must first be preached to all nations, this is not talking about the rapture. It's talking about before the coming of the Lord. It may happen before the rapture of the church. What is the rapture of the church? That is the time when Jesus says, come on up here. I just want you to be with me. And we're all going to be snatched away and be with him forevermore. And I'm so excited. I'm so waiting for that day. There is nothing that needs to happen before that happens. We could leave right now. And I am so excited about that. I've had some thoughts about this recently. And so is it going to be this body that's going to go? Or is this body going to be changed so much that the body's going to be left behind? Because, you know, when we read all those things about left behind and all of that, and there were clothes laying in a pile or something like that, and I started thinking about that. Is that really true? Are there going to be clothes laid in a pile, or are we going to be changed as we're going up? I don't know. I'm not talking about changing our clothes. I'm talking about this body being changed from incorrupt to incorrupt. Yeah, so anyway, that's just speculation, and words be said, don't worry about it. Okay, so in verse 10, the gospel has to go first out. God never, ever sends judgment without previous warning. God never sends judgment without previous warning, so we need to be aware of that. God promised divine help in making their defense. They wouldn't need to prepare. When it says you're going to be brought before councils and everything, don't worry about what you're to say. Let me tell you this. That was for them. This is not an excuse for us not to be in the Word of God. This is not an excuse for us not to know what the Word of God has to say. Oh, well, whenever I need to say anything, God will just bring it to my mind. The Holy Spirit will give me everything. The Holy Spirit is telling you right now to plant those things in your heart so that when he needs to bring them from your remembrance, that they're there to be brought from your remembrance. So we need to be in the Word of God, always studying the Word of God. And so another feature of the tribulation days will be betrayal of those who, and we talked about that, the family members. And it says that those who endure to the end shall be saved. They're not going to be saved because they endured, because they're still living at the end of everything. They're going to be saved because they have given their lives and their heart over to Christ. Those who endure, the characterization of those who are genuinely saved. Those who are genuinely saved. Now, verses 14 through 18, this marks the middle of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years have passed, the beginning of the great tribulation. And if you go into this, you're going to see that we know these things by comparing it with Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 27, but particularly there in Daniel chapter 9. At that time, a great abominable idol will be set up in the temple in Jerusalem. Men will be compelled to worship or die. True believers will, of course, refuse. Those who read and believe the Bible know that this is a time to get out of town, get out of Dodge. But here we are getting out of Judah. Again, that reminder that is being spoken to the Jews at that time. When the the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist from the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The church has already been taken out. You'll notice from all of your other studies that we're not here. We're not here for the tribulation time, but we don't live. We live like, who knows? You know, we live every day, just like we're to follow Christ. But the abomination of desolation is the time when the Antichrist, who has looked so good for first 3.5 years, who has rebuilt the temple for the Jews, who has done all of these things for the Jews, they've set up their sacrifices again. And now at that 3.5 year point, that Antichrist comes and sits in that place in the temple and calls himself to be God. And so that is the time when you see that happening, which none of us will see because we are all believers and we are all going to be going out in the rapture beforehand. But just so that you can tell that to somebody else before the time comes and let them be frightened into salvation if necessary. He'll set himself down and it says, flee, get out of Judea. And so it goes on to say that we are to get out of Judea. If you're on the housetop, don't go back down in your house. Use the outside stairs from the rooftop down to the street. Go out. Don't take any chances on going inside the house and grabbing something material that will hold you up and keep you from your move out of town. You got to get going. You don't have time for all that other stuff. Just go on. If you're out in the field, don't even get your clothes. Don't take a change of clothes with you. I don't know. Maybe you should take a change of clothes with you every day. I don't know. But don't go and change your clothes. Woe to the pregnant or the nursing, because it's going to be extremely hard, as you who have had children know. Verse 18, not in the winter, making it harder to escape. Matthew 24:20 adds, neither on the Sabbath day, when from fear of a breach of its sacred rest, they might be induced to remain. Because of the law, they might be saying, well, no, I can't go that far. I can't go that far on the Sabbath day. So pray that it not be on that day. Now in verse 19, for in those days there is going to be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of time which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Daniel 9:26 and 12:1. Trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Notice that tribulation is primarily Jewish in character. It was the temple, it was Judea, it was the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. The church is not in view here. It will have already been taken to heaven before the day of the Lord begins, before the day of the Lord begins. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. But for the elect's sake, for false Christs, or I'm sorry, verse 20, and unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And so for the elect's sake, the days are shortened. Luke 21:24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. This is taken from Daniel 8:10 and 13. It shows us that there is a time when the Temple Mount will no longer be under anyone else's rule. Right now, the Jews have all kinds of stipulations on how they can be on the Temple Mount because it is owned for the most part by Muslims. And so in Romans 11, 1 through 36 shows us that there will be a time when Jerusalem and Israel no longer will be trodden down by the Gentiles, but they will be grafted back in to the olive tree, and they shall constitute with the believing Gentiles one church and fill the whole earth. And man, what a day that is going to be. What a day that's going to be. That day will come. In verses 21 and 22, people will be so desperate that they'll turn to anyone who promises them safety, but believers will know that Christ will not appear quietly. So if they tell you that he's here or he's there or he's in the other place and you didn't hear some kind of trumpet sound, you didn't hear some kind of commotion going on, you didn't hear a lot of action going on, that wasn't him. So we need to be aware of that, if possible, to deceive even the elect, implying that it will prove to be impossible. What a precious assurance that is. It would prove to be impossible. 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. And so, verse 23, it says, take heed. See, I have told you all of these things beforehand. And we've already talked about that. He has already told us those things beforehand. And in verse 24 and 25, after the tribulation, there are going to be disturbances in heaven. In darkness, there won't be any stars. There won't be any moon. Everything will be dark. And then in verses 26 and 27 happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How does this fit into how does this fit into my little timeline? Well, I don't know how this fits into my timeline, but it says in verses 26 and 27, then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. We see that also in Matthew 24:30. They'll see him returning to earth as a glorious conqueror, coming in the clouds with the angels and all the glorified saints. It's going to be glorious. Matthew 24:31, with a great sound of a trumpet that we won't hear. We won't hear that because that's calling all of the people after the tribulation. We'll already be with him. Do you guys know that Bill filmed me last Tuesday? Okay, you all heard about that. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good statement I made, but anyway, sneaky little guy, that he will gather together his elect, all who have acknowledged him as Lord and Savior during the tribulation. Then we move into verses 28 through 31, which is the parable of the fig tree. Now, the fig tree, symbol of Israel. Jesus taught that prior to his second coming, the fig tree would put forth its leaves in May 1948, Israel was formed as an independent nation. Today, Israel is an influence in all of world affairs. It's amazing to me that everybody talks about Israel. Iran wants to eradicate them. Syria wants to eradicate them. Palestinians want to, not all Palestinians, I know there are Christian Palestinians, but the Palestinian state wants to eradicate Israel. What is it about this nation? It's begun to put off its leaves. And it's God's nation, and God said that he would take care of it. It's put forth its leaves, but right now there is no fruit. No fruit at all. There will be no fruit until the Messiah returns to a people who are willing to receive him. And he says that, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that it's near, that it's at the doors, that he's ready to come. And verse 30, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. What generation? Well, it could mean those living in Christ's day, but many events, especially the events of verses 24 through 27, didn't take place at that time with that generation. So it could mean the generation from May 1948, that when the fig tree first put forth its leaves. However, the other one that I found, could it be this generation may mean this Jewish race characterized by unbelief and rejection of the Messiah? Could it be this Jewish race characterized by unbelief and rejection of the Messiah? History says that this generation has not passed away. The nation as a whole has not only survived as a distinct people, but has continued in its deep-seated animosity toward the Lord Jesus. Jesus predicted that the nation and its national characteristic would continue until he came. So the time that he comes is the end of that generation of the unbelieving Jews. Does that make sense to anyone? Makes better sense than most of the stuff I've read about it. So now, okay, verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. But by no means will my words pass away. What he said is what I say is true. What I say you can believe. You can trust what I say. You can, whatever the phrases are, you can trust me. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And but of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commandment, the doorkeeper, to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, in the midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. He ends it with, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So he's not saying just to the Jews, watch. He's saying to all of us, watch, pay attention. And so I say to you, watch. And this is just a really, this talks about the time when they would have been familiar with this as well, that you continue to watch like a man, like him coming in an hour when no one knows this, the Son doesn't know, but only the Father. It's speaking of that marriage time. It's speaking of when the Father and the Son would build onto the house, and only the Father could tell the Son when it was time to go get his bride. And so the Father and the Son would be building and building, and then it wasn't unheard of for the Father to say at midnight, it's time for you to go get your bride, and all of the hoopla and all of the excitement and all of the fun would go to the bride's house, and they would say, come to my house now. It's everything is ready for you. It's all set for you. Isn't that what Jesus is saying to us? I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I've gone to prepare a place, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And so he would gather his bride in at that time, and she needed to always be ready. Are we ready? Are we prepared for his coming? There was a gardener, and we close with this, a gardener at a large estate in northern Italy was visiting, guiding a visitor through the castle and beautiful grounds. And the visitor sat and had lunch with the gardener and his wife and was admiring the beauty of this garden and how well kept it was. And the visitor asked, when was the last time that the owner was here? Oh, it's been 10 years. Oh, well, then why do you keep the gardens in such beautiful shape? Well, the gardener said, because I'm expecting him to return. Well, when is he coming? Well, I don't know. I expect that. I'm expecting him to return. Well, is he coming soon? I don't know when he's coming, but I'm expecting him today. I'm expecting him today. He didn't come that day, but he was living with the gardener was living with the expectation that he could come at any moment. The gardener wasn't hanging around over the fence to see, is he coming? Is he coming? Did any of you do that when you were kids and mom said, clean up the house before I get back? And you go, oh, all the cars in the driveway. Okay, let's start cleaning. That's what will happen. If we don't expect him to come right away, that's what will happen with our spiritual life. We'll take it for granted. And we won't do the things that we know that we're supposed to do. And we'll find ourselves wanting at that time. And I don't want any of this to be found in that place. So he was trimming and cutting and mowing and planning and busy for the master's work. And what I say to you, I say to all, Jesus said, watch, watch. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us all we need, Lord, to walk through this life, that you have prepared us, that our eyes are set on you, that you are the one, Lord, that will direct our steps and lead us and provide and all these things, Lord. I pray, Father, for the provision for this Breaking Through Conference. Lord, we pray for these girls who are going to come. Lord, we know that you want to touch these lives, and we want to do whatever we can to make this available for them. We want to make sure, Lord, that you know that, that our hearts are with you, Lord, and we want our hearts to be with them. Help us, Lord, those of us who are maybe a little timid about meeting with people, but you're pounding our heart right now. You're saying, I want you to be one of those who's a tear collector. I want you to be one of those that cares for the speaker. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have ministered to us, and we want to be a part of you ministering to these other ladies, Lord, bringing them into the kingdom, setting them free from things, years of bondage, Lord. Set these girls free. Set them free, Lord Jesus. And Father, as these ladies get into their small groups, Lord, I pray that you would bless their time of conversation, that you would bless their time of prayer, Lord, and thank you for their commitment to you first, that they are committed to you, Lord, to grow in you, to know your word, and to grow in you, and to prepare themselves for that day when you say, come on up, it's time to come home. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.